Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Dimes and Dozens. I am still Claire, that is still Tolliver. This week, we've got some belated gossip, I guess is the way I would describe it to talk about. We had a pre-taped episode last week. Thus, we're not able to give our takes on the Vivian Lakers Twitter scandal.
Yes.
So we're going to dive into that. But just know that we are, you know, aware that we're late on this train. You know, it's probably old news at this point.
But it's still fun news.
And
we can each confirm that the other is real.
Yes.
Because we have.
Yeah, we have met in person. I know that we're so hot that it's hard to believe.
Scorching.
But believe it or not, people this hot and this smart are, in fact, actual human beings. So
it's you're crazy.
Welcome.
Dare to dream.
You too someday could be as great as we are in real life. Okay, so here's the saga for those of you who somehow missed it. It has not been confirmed. I don't want to throw accusations out there because it hasn't been confirmed that Josh Toussaint was in fact Vivian. But the story is he posted last week that she was missing. And I shared the post. A lot of people shared the post. This woman from Lakers Twitter, who I had actually never heard of, Vivian, was missing.
Yeah.
And then that was sort of the inception of the scandal. Then Josh was like, she's been found. And apparently, so they had just started co-hosting a podcast together. And they had four episodes or something, a Lakers podcast. So he was the one who was like, I'm really worried about this. And then he found her, you know, air quotes up the wazoo for this whole story. But so then once she was quote unquote found, people started to uncover some interesting details. Not the least of which is that literally every single photo of her looks hella photoshopped. The photos of Vivian look like the pictures for mail order Russian brides that they advertise you when one bootlegs NBA games instead of one paying for NBA TV. I'm not saying I'm that person. I'm just saying, if one were to bootleg a game instead of getting League Pass, one might see photos of this nature advertising Russian mail order brides. And that's what Vivian looked like. Definitely not her face on any of the bodies that are pictured in any of the photos of her. Also, apparently she's been, and I use the word she very loosely, of course, active on Twitter for years and has been accused of catfishing, I guess, before. And she had cancer, ?
Oh, my God.
There's been a lot involved in this story. And so Josh's official statement was like, I too was bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray. I was catfished. I'm just as shocked as you are. I'm a victim too.
Yeah.
And then the Vivian character has been defending herself, saying how offensive it is that people don't think she's real. And so to try and defend prove that she's a real person, a woman who looks a lot like, but not exactly like the photos of her, held up a piece of paper with the word Vivian on it spelled wrong. The video has since been deleted. Can't imagine why. And so that's sort of where the saga led us. I mean, we still don't know definitively who Vivian is. It's probably Josh Toussaint, but I mean, it could be true that he was also getting catfished by, I heard some story that back when she was catfishing in a different sport, I feel like it was baseball or something, that the IP address led back to India. So I guess it's possible.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can assign your IP address to be anywhere. So, you know, whatever. But it's possible that Josh is getting catfished by some dude in India. Seems highly unlikely to me. But what a wild. Wow. What a wild saga.
What a saga. Yeah. So I've read about this so much, and I think just so many people, I'm still what about what about this? Because they hosted a podcast together, so it would, the voice belongs to someone,
right?
And I feel like if you were the Vivian who has, like, you know, who just puts up this piece of paper and misspells your own name, maybe just post another video. You know, just right. Be like, oh, sorry,
also,
my
like,
bad.
Are you okay, woman who's holding up this piece of paper? Like, should we be worried?
Oof.
I don't know. It's a lot. And it's also like people who are messing around with like pitch shifting her voice way down. And seeing what it sounded like if it was a male voice. And it definitely does sound like it could just be a male voice imitating a woman and like being pitch shifted.
I personally, for one,
cannot wait for two things. One, the inevitable HBO documentary on this.
Absolutely.
I also cannot wait for the inevitable Jinixa Bravo dramatization of this, a la the Zola saga, which is getting turned into a movie. I think the possibilities are truly endless. And it was just nice to distract from, you know, the very mediocre play by the Lakers that we will discuss later in the show. Just a nice little Lakers kind of side story, side plot, if you will.
It's very interesting to me because I'm like now jealous of a person that might not exist.
That she's getting so much attention. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, damn, this person's popping. You know, they're about to get a movie made about them. And they're like, meanwhile, they literally don't have cells.
Also, someone pointed out, which is so accurate, that anyone else from Lakers Nation or like Lakers Twitter, whoever gets kidnapped or anything bad happens to them is totally fucked because no one's going to share anything about it. They're just going to be languishing in like a basement somewhere. Like while Twitter's just like, yeah, you're not going to get us twice. Fool me once, bitch. Sorry, Vivian. So that's really too bad. I hope that we all stay safe and vigilant because no one's going to help us or believe that we're in
She's
peril
ruined it.
Ever again.
The Vivian who cried wolf.
The mail order Russian bride who called wolf, cried wolf.
It also reminds me of have you seen these ads? You won't last 10 minutes playing these games.
Oh, yeah.
That kind
of or like the weird, like, porny, like, anime ads, too, where it's just like, she can't wait to talk to you. And it's just like these humongous blinking, like, anime eyes. Yeah, it's terrifying what people are into sexually, I gotta say. It's really disturbing.
Absolutely.
There's no way, good way to transition to talking about the Knicks from that. So some people like to beat off to anime. Anyway, the Knicks.
Speaking of Julius Randle.
Oh, my God. He was blacklisted. Exactly. The Knicks, we've, you know, oft disparaged on this podcast, and elsewhere, everywhere else, actually. But I will say, we are reaching a point where it is a real possibility and maybe even probability that the Knicks are going to end up with home court advantage in the playoffs. And so I feel like we're at a crossroads where we can't joke about it. They're actually good. Regular season good. I mean, grain of salt, but they are regular season good.
I refuse to believe it.
You're still in denial.
You know?
They've won, Tolliver, 9 straight games.
Yeah, 9 straight. That's a lot of games. And they're the 4th seed in the East. And, you know, things are firing on a lot of cylinders. But I think I just need them to be a punching bag just because it's like a comfort for me. You know, I fear change.
I will say.
The Knicks have been bad for two
decades.
The Knicks
should be bad right now. So here's the thing. It's like their roster, they're like, you know, mind you, yes, Julius Randle is playing at like an all NBA level. He is balling out of his mind right now. Yeah. Give him that. RJ Barrett is like finally reaching his potential. Give him that. Beyond those two, this roster is a whole lot of nothing. And the fact that they're playing as well as they are and basically saying, I know we don't have the offensive talent, so we're just going to be one of the best defensive teams in the league and just hang our hat on that and hang our hat on like playing super hard 48 minutes a game. That's a total testament to Tom Thibodeau, and he should definitely be, I never thought I'd say this, but he should definitely be in the Coach of the Year conversation this year, if not like a shoe-in for Coach of the Year. I mean, I know Quinn Snyder and the Jazz is definitely in that conversation as well, but like the Knicks shouldn't be this good. There is no logical reason why they should be as good as they are, except that they're just like really well coached and they play really hard and they're gritty and they give a shit. So the reality that you're living in which the Knicks are bad it's not like this is a completely disparate reality from that. The Knicks should, by all right. intents and purposes, be bad. They just aren't for yeah. some reason.
When your third option is Merrick Mose, I think that's troubling.
Or you know? Maj Mibson.
or Maj Mibson, who I cannot believe is still playing. It's you know, it's yeah. troubling to me, but I am, you know, I've romanticized those, you know, the Bulls, you know, the Thibodeau Bulls for what feels like my entire right. life now. So I'm excited that he got, you know, another shot after what happened in Minnesota, which was
yeah, that wasn't good.
Flabbergasting yeah, failure. Really
that was like me and you attempting to have music careers. It was just like, woof. No, actually, our music careers, I can say confidently, our music careers are going better than the Tom Thibodeau Timberwolves experiment did. I feel pretty good about yeah. that.
I sent songs to my label for my EP mm-hmm. 4 days ago.
No response.
And CC'd four people.
No acknowledgement at all.
That even happened.
That can only mean good things, in my experience.
They're devastated by
either
the quality of the
music. Either they're so intimidated by how good they were, or yeah. they're so hard at work busting their ass to make you more successful that they yes. just don't even have time to write back. Those are the only
That's
two possibilities.
That's got to be what it is.
But yeah, the Knicks are good. What a world. I feel like we just have to reckon with the fact that they're good. And also, I tweeted this and I stand behind this. New York will 1,000% be more hype if the Knicks get home court advantage than they will be if the Nets win the championship. That is just yeah. real. That is a Knicks town. I mean, it's the Nets. They're absolutely. The New Jersey Nets until the day I fucking die. I don't care if you call them the Brooklyn Nets now. They're the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah. The only like memory I have of the Nets as a kid is I think Chauncey Billups. Literally, that's
I think
that's
comma,
pretty much it for me.
Chauncey
you know
Billups.
What I'm saying? Like,
the memory no I have cares. Of the Nets as a kid is none. I don't have memories of the Nets because they're an irrelevant franchise that has always been irrelevant, and a couple years of relevance does not change that.
Yeah.
You know, they remind me of another franchise. I uh-huh. can't quite remember the uh-huh. name. It alludes to a tanker ship, I believe, from their San Diego roots in San Diego, a place that is not Los Angeles and will never be Los okay. Angeles. Anyway, the name is yeah. escaping me, but the Nets are sort of like the East Coast really, version of yeah. that team. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're an unserious mm-hmm, franchise. Mm-hmm. And even if they win a championship, they will still be an unserious franchise.
Yeah, I'm convinced every big ship other LA team fan is a bot.
Right. They're just bots.
They're
also
real.
Have yet to meet a Brooklyn Nets fan. We are yeah. 3/4 of the way through the season. They are the far and away front runners to win the championship. And I do not know a single fan of that team. So
yeah, they're all Vivian.
Wow. This yeah. is like galaxy brain shit.
Yeah.
Maybe Vivian right. was a Brooklyn Nets Vivian. Plant right. to make the Lakers look unserious. I yeah. don't. I need. There's a couple more dots I need to connect. I need to workshop this theory a little more. But I do think there's mm-hmm. something there.
We've got time.
Nothing but know? Time.
I'm sorry. There was a famous drag queen called the Vivian.
The Vivian.
And so I get confused
I didn't
sometimes.
Get that reference.
So forgive me, listeners. Because yeah, I said the Vivian, and I don't want people to think I'm an idiot.
I thought you meant like the Vivian saga, so I just kind of went with it.
Oh, I could have gotten away with it. Could have gotten away yeah. with it. Oops.
Okay. So things that people aren't getting away with, and also related to the concept of unserious basketball franchises, at the moment, at least. Yeah. Not that it's historically actually a pretty serious basketball franchise. They're always good. They're always relevant. Not necessarily winners, per se. The beloved Portland Trailblazers. At the inception of this season, I made a bet with the illustrious NBA podcaster and writer Kevin O'Connor. Shout out, Kevin. Yes. I bet he was slandering the Blazers from the jump, from the very inception of the season. And he was saying they're not going to do anything. And I was like, blasphemy, because as you might recall, me, someone who's very smart and never wrong, predicted that they would be the 2 seed this year. So I was like, absolutely not. And so I said, hey, Kevin O'Connor, I bet you $20 that yeah. the Trailblazers will end up in the 5 seed or above. Anything below that, you win the bet. And he was like, you're on. And I was like, take it to the bank. $20. Can't wait to spend that on, I don't know, half of a meal in Los Angeles. So flash forward to late April, where we currently stand.
Yes.
I am not winning that bet. It's pretty it's pretty much written in the stars that I owe Kevin O'Connor $20. Of course it is humanly possible that everyone above Portland could absolutely crash and burn for the rest of the season, and Portland could somehow get it together. But it does not seem probable that that is going to happen. You know, Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring injury, and in that time, you would kind of hope that the rest of the team would like rise to the occasion, you know, but they didn't. They didn't do that at all. And also, Terry Stotts, It might be time. It might be time for him to be in the hot seat.
Yeah, I think I've been very excited for Damian Lillard and been very happy for him. I just saw an interview with him like a few days ago. That was just so refreshing, and Yeah, they were like asking him, you know, real layups. It was like, you know, who would you in a rap battle other than Shaq? And he was like, no one else raps. And I was like,
yeah, he's very serious. Anyway. He doesn't seem like a sense of humor doesn't necessarily seem like his strongest character trait. Yeah. But he is like a wonderful, earnest man. And I really
seems very genuine, you know. And so but every year, you know, he talks about, you know, all these other dudes is, you know, in the modern NBA era switching teams. But I'm loyal. And I'm like, after a while, man,
we'll all forgive you if you decide to not be loyal anymore. Yeah. I mean, I think basically Portland is at a point where you have a generational talent in Damian Lillard. Yeah. You have a lot of great pieces. I mean, I had high hopes for them this season, but something's not working. You've had the same basic core for a few years. Now, mind you, they haven't really been healthy all at the same time. You've had the same coach. At a certain point, you do have to start asking questions like, do we either, you know, set Damian Lillard free for the rest of the peak of his, you know, prime years of his career, or do we make serious overhaul changes to our roster to better support our star? But they're not as currently constructed, as evidenced, you know, by this year. Mind you, again, injuries have always been a thing, a curse with them for sure. But like, your ceiling is not a championship with this roster, I don't think, as currently constructed. Absolutely. So, and Damian Lillard is someone who could absolutely be the best player on a championship team. So to me, that says either you need to shuffle things around and get some new blood in there, even if it's like a kind of lateral move, like talent wise, like whatever is going on. Like, you have no defense. You need to get some defenders in there. You could probably lose a little offense. I thought the Norman Powell move was really illogical and made no sense. They need to do that, or they need to let him walk, which I don't think he's going to do. You know, like, I don't think he really wants to leave Portland. I think he does feel really strongly about staying. But it's time to overhaul, and I think it might be time for a new coach, to be totally real with you.
Yeah, he's just staked his entire reputation on staying with the Portland Trailblazers. So God bless him. But everyone has to go.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, blow the
whole thing at up. This point. Yeah, or blow a lot of it up. And also the other thing is, like, it's kind of not very clear why they're so bad at defense. Besides the coach. Right. I mean, obviously, it's like an effort thing. And the other, you know, obviously, it's an issue because Damian and CJ are both incredible offensive players. And it's just for the majority of the league, it's just not possible to expend as much energy as they expend offensively and have as much of their offense like depend on them and then go back to the other end of the floor and play super hard on defense. Like, that's just a lot to ask of your stars. So the rest of the team needs to be great defensively. And they don't have any, like, great defenders. Like, I know Robert Covington kind of had a reputation as a 3-and-D guy. But he hasn't really proven to be that, at least not on this team. So, yeah, I think it's definitely time for a shakeup. And I think that, honestly, like, you know, I don't think Terry Stotts is a bad coach by any means. And I think that they have done pretty well. I mean, they got to the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago. But it doesn't seem like he is capable as a coach of taking them to that next level. So I think it might be time to say bye-bye, Terry Stotts.
It's time to move on, you know?
Why not?
I just haven't been excited by the Trailblazers.
I was so excited about them this year because I was like, oh my God, they're all going to be healthy. Then, of course, Nurk got hurt. Collins is hurt again. You know, CJ was hurt for a while. But even then, like, they're mostly healthy now, you know, minus Damian's, like, very minor hamstring injury. And they still can't really get it together. You know, they've lost. So we said the Knicks have lost. I've won 9 straight. The Blazers have lost, not in a row, but they've lost 9 of their last 11.
Yeah, they've lost 5 straight.
That's brutal. So, it's brutal.
It's not great. The West just seems to be getting stronger and stronger. I don't know.
Right. Fuck it. Blow it up. We have no horses in the race.
And I say this. You know, exactly. These are people's lives. I don't care.
So, yeah, speaking of blowing it up. No, don't blow. Do not blow it up. But speaking of panic, you know, we've referenced Wozni Lambre's Lakers panic meter. We've kind of co-opted, I would say, is safe to say, his panic meter. We will be sued at some point in time. So, AD's back. He's been back for a couple games. Doesn't look awful. Yes. Doesn't look great, I will say. Mm. Makes sense. Takes time to get into rhythm. My main concern isn't even with that. It's like, I saw someone tweet and they were just like, they just need some time to build chemistry and get together. I'm like, time to build chemistry? The fucking playoffs are like
10 games left.
Like 2 weeks. What the fuck are you talking about? Time to build chemistry. Bitch, we have no time. The time to build chemistry was the last 6 months that they've been playing, and they have none. They have no chemistry. They don't know how to play together. Yeah. Like, we have, you know, our new starting big man basically is brand new. Andre Drummond just got there. Missed the first few weeks of his tenure in the Lakers with a foot injury. Yeah. A freak toe accident. Like,
yeah, lost a toenail.
The whole thing was like, peace out, bro.
Bye.
Like, what are there, 12 games left of the regular season or something? Like, that chemistry is like, and I don't really know if you can build chemistry under pressure. Like, I don't think that really is how that works. I feel like it's just kind of an organic thing that, like, happens naturally. So,
yeah, I've certainly never done it, you know? I mean, I'm excited. I'm a little hopeful because their next several games, if I remember correctly, it was like the Magic, the Kings, and like, the Wizards. So I'm like, those are three teams you can build some chemistry on.
Right.
You know, those are some teams you can run roughshod a bit.
Yeah.
You would think. But, you know, LeBron's still not back, obviously. I want to have faith that any LeBron-led team is just going to be okay, because that's typically how that goes. But we gonna see.
We gonna see. Indeed.
I like living in a city where teams win. You know, we lived in Minneapolis for so long, and it was just like,
the Lakers are gonna win a lot, and they're probably gonna make it to, they're almost certainly going to make it to at least the Western Conference Finals, probably to the finals. I want to say that unequivocally. I don't doubt that. But I did have, and I don't want to put this out in the atmosphere, you know, and like jinx things. But like last year, even when everyone was like, Clippers are going to win it all, you know, like, and when I was banging my Lakers drum, my whole point was, and I stand behind this, they had built incredible chemistry. And they looked like they were having so much fun. And even when it was bad, and like even on the games they lost, they were like laughing and like playing. It was like such a team, like the atmosphere was on point. And there was just like a joyfulness, you know, and like there was a purity and sort of like an, I want to say like lack of cynicism, if that makes sense, to the way they were playing last year. Like they just really wanted it, but they were also like so present with each other and like clicking as a team. And it kind of reminds me, and I'm gonna get dragged to all hell for saying this, because these teams are so different, they couldn't be more different. The way they play is different, talent level is different, but it kind of reminded me of the Warriors when they first got really good, which was that they were playing such great team basketball. And I don't think that's what people expected out of such a top heavy roster with the Lakers, but I do think that's why they were so successful last year, because it was just like team basketball. Like they bought into the system, everybody knew their role, and they were just like having fun with it. And to me, that's when the Warriors were at their best. I would say pre Kevin Durant, when they were at their best, at least that's what it was. Yeah. And that's kind of what the Lakers reminded me of last year. And I don't see that this year. I don't see it at all. And there's been flashes of it in moments, but overall, I would say this does not look like a team that has great chemistry. This does not look like a team that's having a ton of fun. It's troubling.
It's super troubling. And it's like, when I think of the pieces that they added in the offseason, they just seem like fun guys. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe not. maybe not fun for Montrezl right. Harrell, but he seems like a kind of guy who...
Yeah, fun wouldn't be the first or second or third word fun's I would not use the word. To describe Trez.
I would use for him. But, you know, he seems like the guy who's going to add a lot of energy right. and add a lot of, you know, a lot of cohesion.
And, like, he and Schroeder have Dennis great Schroeder, chemistry you know. Together, the two of them.
Yeah.
But there's all these weird, like, clicks, it feels like, of chemistry. Like, I think AD and LeBron have really great chemistry that we haven't really been able to bear witness to because they haven't really played together much this year. You know, I think Schroeder and Trez have developed a really cool chemistry together. I think that some of the guys who were on the roster last year, like kind of the B squad on the roster last year, like Kuzma and Caruso and like those guys kind of have a cool chemistry from just years of playing together. But as a team, it looks pretty disjointed and it doesn't look particularly joyful to me. And I don't know if it's like sophomore slump. I don't know if it's like, once you've won a championship, it's hard to like get up for those, you know, regular season games. But I will say that I do think that that could end up biting you in the ass. Because I think I truly believe, as much as I would follow LeBron James into the depths of hell, as I've said before and will say again, and as much as I think that if you put the Lakers up against any other team and you're looking for the two most talented guys on the floor, with the exception of the Nets, 100% of the time, the Lakers are going to have the two most talented guys on the floor. You know, like AD and LeBron are better than any other duo in the league. Put that on my mama. Like, they're so good. But I don't think that's why they won the championship last year. And I do think that the reason that they won was a combination of having that talent, but also having incredible team chemistry and role players who really committed to their roles. And I don't see that so much this year. So I'm not panicking necessarily, but I don't feel super confident. I don't, because this isn't the team that I picked to win the championship last year, not just in personnel but also in just like vibes, bro.
Well, listen, shout out to them for at least making it interesting, I guess, because I definitely was like, oh, it's gonna
be, we thought we were just gonna like sleepwalk to the fucking NBA finals,
like haha hee hee. I guess it's nice that, you know, strange things
humbling.
Happen.
It is humbling, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what you and I need.
It reminds
need more
me
than
of my roots as
humbled.
A fan of shitty teams. It's good to get in touch with your roots, you know?
Hey, we didn't see the Knicks coming. Neither of us predicted that.
No. No, yeah. How could
if you
we?
If you had told me they were going to be 13th in the East, I would have been like, yeah.
Although I will say the fact that, to give the Lakers some credit, the fact that they maintained, you know, above the sixth seed with LeBron and AD out for like an extended period of time is pretty magnificent. Like, I thought they were going to plummet into the play-in tournament. So that is
exactly.
Nice.
I remember we had the Kamenetsky brothers on, and I remember zoning out at some point during that conversation thinking, are the Lakers even going to be in the playoffs? Yeah, like I remember
Twitter panic, right? Like if you're just on Twitter for too long, you'll just convince yourself that the world is ending tomorrow, and that's exactly. that. Those are the kind of thoughts you'll get. Okay, so speaking of Twitter, I love how amazed you were that I actually had a transition that worked. Like you were like, could not believe it.
I just like to, you know.
Every once in a while, I do my
yes
job.
And it.
Every once in a while. It's a rare occasion. It's like seeing a dodo bird.
Yeah.
So historically, when we've had guests on the show, we've played a game. If you've heard the show before, you know the game. It's called Defend That Tweet. It's a super unique game that's never been played anywhere else and will never be played again. The point of the game, if you have never heard it, is that we go through the tweets, the most funny or the most incendiary or whatever tweets that we pick from our guest and make them defend them live. And I thought it's kind of unfair, right, that we put our guests through this process, through this hazing ritual that we've never been through. So I thought it would be fun, and I will live to regret this,
absolutely,
if we played Defend That Tweet together. So I've taken the liberty of pulling up five of your most interesting tweets here. And I thought, let's just go back and forth, you know, ping pong, Serena Williams tennis style, just like boom, boom, boom. And I don't know why I said that.
You know, tennis
with the boom,
with the
and,
boom.
The boom and the boom and the we talk about the sports for a job.
Are we gonna yell it though? We gotta do the yell.
So we're about to play.
Defend
that
tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a little more anticlimactic when there's no guest here to be like, oh,
oh, crazy. You know? The reactions from the guests are, so zany. Are some of my favorite things. Because some people are so like alarmed at first. They're like, oh.
Why are they yelling? Why are they yelling? No one knows is the answer to that.
And we like it that way.
Okay. So the first tweet I have here from Tolliver is, we are all wondering where the Lumineers are. Are we? Why don't you go ahead and defend that tweet?
You know what I enjoy most about my time on Twitter is I go in like, I like black out, it feels like, and I just start writing stuff.
You know? Yeah, just saying things just to say them. That's actually that's the Twitter way. That's how you're supposed to tweet.
And then for like 3 days, I'll be like, I have nothing to contribute to this rotten world. You know?
Can't relate. Yeah, I'm just constantly word vomiting into oblivion. So I can't relate at all.
But I am certain that this came up because I saw a human person and went, oh, yeah, the Lumineers. You know, like I probably saw some guy wearing overalls and was like.
And a like wide brim hat.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Remember that?
But yeah, it's bold of you to say that we're all wondering. I can say unequivocally, I have never wondered once where they are.
You're not pining for more of that stomp, stomp, clap, clap.
Nope.
Zaga zow. Okay.
I'm all good. I'm all set. Well, yeah, I'm great.
That's unfortunate, but fine.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. If you call them exotic dancers, you're the ops.
It's as our guests have said on many occasions, I feel like it speaks for itself, but I will expound.
Please do.
People who say exotic dancers to describe strippers are narcs. That's a weird, very dorky thing to say. I feel like strippers don't call themselves exotic dancers. Like, they call themselves strippers, and I think that exotic dancer is almost like more rude because it implies that there's something like shameful about the word stripper.
Gotta class it up. Right.
And it's like, they're not exotic. There's nothing exotic about showing your titties. It's just like, it's a different kind of dancer. It's not exotic. It's actually very colloquial dancing, really. It's very domestic, in fact, dancing. Yeah. I would say that it's pretty true to the United States. It's not like particularly exotic. It doesn't come from like a faraway land.
It's almost like,
it's just titties.
Like they wanted to say erotic dancer. They were like, ooh, no. Like too,
no.
That's a little too sexual.
How do we fix that? Just swap out the R for an X.
Say exotic.
Exotic. Also exotic, like from the faraway land where sex happens, because none of us go there. that's me defending that. There you have it.
Okay, I just need to say, so a lot of the tweets I've picked are just ones that got a reaction from, you know, where I'm like, I just want to hear more.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they're pretty clear. I know I have some in there that are.
I tried to pick ones that I truly don't know what the fuck you were thinking. Vague, some of them. You know? Okay, so like, for example, the next one I have. Okay. I've come a long way from enjoying myself at parties. Defend that tweet, if you would.
Yeah, that's like, oh, it's been a really long year, and I've had to do a lot of work on myself, like we all have, and all that jazz. But I just remember when I used to just like feel good. When I used to just put on my sequin jacket and then go out to whatever function was happening that evening and be like, I am God, you know, and just be like, and have that moment. And that hasn't happened in forever. So I've had to find new ways to enjoy my life.
Right.
And so it's like, it's like a positive thing. It's like, I've come such a long way because I've done all this emotional work to love myself without that.
Aww, that's beautiful.
But also, wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice to enjoy a party?
I have the most gorgeous sequin pants, gold sequin pants that, oh my God.
Yeah, hard to just enjoy those pants while you're just self-reflecting at home.
They're just behind me
in your living
doing
room.
Doing nothing.
They're just mocking you.
That's pathetic. Okay.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
Yeah. Wow, I feel like some of your replies could be good too.
I don't need to defend the replies. That's not my job.
Okay. Let's go with, I have them all here, but let's go. The Venn diagram between men who call women females and men who believe the vaccine conspiracy theories is a circle. This one,
that super speaks for itself. But basically, there's a certain type of guy that when they are talking about women, they say females, like, oh, don't you just hate it when females? And that's how I know that I don't want to talk to them. It's a dead ringer. It's a red flag. It's like, oh, you are someone who I have no interest in talking to. Yeah. And I find that the guys who are like, you know, 5G, Pfizer, or just like the how are you just going to trust a vaccine that they just made up out of thin air like in 2 days? Like those guys, if I could be so bold, I would wager to guess that they call women females. Yeah. It just checks out in my brain.
I think those guys are, I might be wrong here, but the term is hotep.
that's a term for you to use.
That's
and
a term
not
for me.
Me
to use.
I'm
going to sure.
Sit all the way back.
Thank you for letting
me
have that one. And instantly I have this meme of Thanos in a dashiki.
That's just a funny image to imagine. Like, I can laugh at that.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
I grew up with these guys, the females guys.
Yeah.
Female. And it's like,
that was your Thanos and a dashiki voice.
That's what they sound like. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was that
it is,
as well.
It is.
And it's just crazy because I think that they think that we can't tell what they actually mean. Because
we know what they mean.
I know what word you mean.
I can pick up what you're
I can pick
down.
Up what you're putting down. That's not unclear to me.
Right.
You silly goose.
Right. You don't respect me. I think is the long and short of it. So next tweet. Okay. The Grammys are for, this is actually very topical because the Oscars are happening as we live and breathe, as we tape this podcast, the Oscars are happening.
Exactly.
The Grammys are for straight people, the Tonys are for gays, and Oscars are for white allies with criminal records. For the love of all that is holy, defend that tweet, please. I'm waiting on pins and needles. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. I think the Oscars are just like so milquetoast.
Right.
That.
But what is the white allies with criminal records element of the Oscars?
That they have something to hide. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That they're white allies who are like doing a lot of work to, you know, be like, and, you know, I don't know, Black Lives Matter. I'm trying to think. I was trying to put myself in the place of like Tina Fey at the Oscars giving a speech. And I couldn't.
Are you saying? Oh my
God. I couldn't think of any words.
I love that you named names. No one asked you to do that.
But it always feels very performative. And so the criminal records part is like, yeah, but you faking it a little bit.
It's more of like the abstract, like a criminal record in the most abstract sense, not literally like they've committed crimes, but like they have things to answer for in their past is what you
Tony's okay.
And then
obvious.
Tony's being for gays. I feel like that's
mandatory. I mean, does anyone who's
Grammys
not
are for
gay
straight
care about
people?
The Tonys?
Grammys are for straight people. I don't know. I'm pretty straight. I don't really fuck with the Grammys like that.
Yeah.
I feel like the Grammys are for squares.
Yeah. I could have said straight squares, but I think it's assumed that I mean straight squares, you know.
If you're 100% straight, you're pretty square. If there's not even 1% of you that's like, as a guy, like I wouldn't turn Brad Pitt away.
Right.
I wouldn't turn him down.
I can safely say that not one gay person on earth has ever watched the Grammy Awards.
You can safely say that. That's amazing. I haven't ever watched the Tonys. As the token representative of the straight delegation, I can say that I've never watched the Tonys one time.
I don't want to see, you know, the cast of what's even a musical.
I don't know.
Once on this island,
you don't want the straights. You don't want the straights at the Tonys, though. We'd ruin it.
Yeah,
we'd ruin it. We'd ruin everything that's good about it, as we do with everything else.
Yeah, it'd be like sponsored by Zantac. It'd be like, you know,
sponsored by Axe Body Spray.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, I'm like, because I'm so wishy-washy about stuff, I'm like back on your Twitter. I'm like, I wonder if I can find some others. Okay, but I have five ready. Okay, so this one is once again self-explanatory. No, let's go with this one. My crush on Jon Favreau is strong, but maybe not strong enough to overcome him with no facial hair. This one spoke to me because I find Jon Favreau to be very ugly, and I would like you to defend.
Here's where I got the crush on Jon Favreau.
Okay.
It started, it was nascent, but it did start in the movie The Breakup. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
it's a rom-com.
And I remember him in it,
he's the best friend, and he's just so fucking funny in that movie. And the repartee between him and Vince Vaughn is just like so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so charming and funny in that movie.
Yeah.
And so that started it. And then he has a cooking show on Netflix, mm-hmm, called The Chef Show. Him and Roy Choi, who's like a famous LA chef. And he is so passionate about food in that show. And he's so funny and like warm. And I don't know, like, I'm very much like a personality crushing person. Like, I don't really have like a physical type.
Yeah.
But just you know, if someone's really smart and really funny and like witty and seems like a kind, warm person, I'm just like drawn to them.
Wow.
So that's my Jon Favreau crush. But I will say that like seeing him with no facial hair, which I believe I was watching a Marvel movie that he was in, and that was what I was referring to.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for him. He needs the facial hair. He really, really needs it. Desperately needs it. And I really hope for him that he.
It's hard for me to imagine somebody who is that attracted to Jaylen Brown also being that attracted to Jon Favreau.
Jaylen Brown is the physical.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Jaylen Brown, like if I just saw a photo of him, I'm like, that guy's super hot.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely not true about Jon Favreau. I would say my crushes, like there's two different kinds of crushes. It's like I have like a crush on your personality and like you as a person and like just want to be close to you kind of crush. And then there's like a, oh my God, what I wouldn't give to see you butt ass naked kind of crush. And, you know, they can coexist, but they're not the same kind of crush. And what I wouldn't give to see Jaylen Brown butt ass naked is all I have to say.
Yeah. I think if you say it three times, then it's like a you know, wizard comes
then
from
I will
the ground.
Summon him?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Dangerous information.
One more time.
No.
Careful.
Oh my God. He's going to file a restraining order against me. So I would.
Why not? Fair.
All right. Your turn. Oh, wait. No, my turn. Okay. Next tweet. Learning the hard way that just because I bought a soul record on vinyl doesn't mean it's good. Some of those 70s Johns are horrible. Hurting me.
Yeah. That's, I had another one recently that was sort of similar to that about, I think it was like Mandrill, the band or whatever. I think I have this romantic feeling about all old black music that it was just perfect. That there's nothing that could, like, they're gods to me. But I just now, you know, I got my little radio show popping, and then I go to the record store after the show every week, and we have a little chat. We have a little boy time in the record store. Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, what's up, bro? You know, so that's always fun. I take these records home, and I'm like, I'm going to go listen to some god-tier shit. And I got to tell you, Lord have mercy. Sometimes these people are singing and it's like, you know, it's just like.
Oh, my God.
That was actually pretty good by accident.
Yeah, good job.
But it is like next level terrible, fully out of tune, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it shattered my illusion that every black song before 19, whatever, was just, you know, the most perfect song that ever existed. I just want the best for us.
Right.
And when I'm let down, it hurts. Because I would rather listen to Tekashi 6ix9ine than a lot of the records I've bought. So
that is an indictment if I've ever heard one. Actually, that's an interesting choice of indictment when talking about Tekashi 6ix9ine. This is an interesting choice.
Speaking
of
indictments, yeah.
Speaking of indictments, he's a criminal. and a pedophile, allegedly.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Right.
Okay. What do you got?
Explainable, but it's got the word poop in it. So I
enjoyed
that.
Oh no, I know it's.
Some of you are skeptical about the vaccine, but if a Kardashian told you to drink tummy tea, you'd be on the John for a week, pooping your brains out, no questions asked.
I did think twice after I hit send on that, just because I don't know how much I want the word pooping in my Twitter feed, but it's too late now.
That's definitely
I just feel like it's like so performative, the people who are like scared of the vaccine, and they're like or a lot of the people who are scared of it, and they're just like, oh my God, but how are you gonna trust? And then it's like, you literally buy like gummy vitamins off Instagram. Like, you let the Kardashians sell you tummy tea when all that tummy tea is literally a fucking laxative. It just makes you shit your brains out. That's how it makes you skinny, guys. This is, I'm peeling back the curtain, that is how it's laxative tea. And it's, that's just what it is. And you would happily, you know, gobble that up and order it off Instagram if a Kardashian told you to do that. But the government takes, you know, 11 months to develop a vaccine. And you're just like, oh, I don't know.
This is my thing with a lot of Americans generally, right? It's like, you know, we put horrific things in our body and air all the time.
Right.
But vaccine? No. Even though, you know, you've had several vaccinations throughout your life.
So you had to have like at least 6 or 7 to go to public school.
You've already done this. Why would they start today? Why would you think it would just have dawned on them to use mind control through vaccines this year?
Right. And also, like, you drinking tummy tea doesn't affect me whatsoever. If you want to shit your fucking brains out, like, to try and be skinny, like, you know, that's on you.
It might affect it, you.
I mean, depending. But, like, yeah. But the you not taking the vaccine literally will make this virus stronger and make me have to take a booster shot every year of my life.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
Yeah, I was in an Uber and they were like, yeah, I hear we got to maybe get another shot in 6 months. And I was like,
it's like, yeah, dude, that's how flu shots work. Yeah. Like, yes. And we wouldn't have to if everyone just took the damn thing. But well,
what I was thinking was, how can I get in front of the line? You know, right. Anyway, just instantly scheming.
Okay. So the last one I have for you is it's tough for me to read because I'm personally feel attacked and offended by this tweet. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah. I want you to defend it, and I also need you to defend it at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Gilmless girls, am I right? fuck you. If I may, fuck yeah. You. That is an incredible television show.
Gilmore Girls is on a long list of shows that I've tried, and I've won it.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that you've given it a because fair actually, shake at all.
I saw the oh my God, what's the lead actress, the Lauren older Graham. One? I saw her in Minneapolis one time.
Oh yeah, that's because she dates. God, this is a deep cut. Celebrity gossip knowledge that I shouldn't know. It's because she, I would imagine, it's because she dates Peter Krause, who of wow. 6 Feet Under fame, who is a Minnesota boy and his family still lives there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw her and that's when I decided to watch it because I was like, she seemed nice.
She does seem nice.
So she seemed she great. She does,
yeah.
But
it's great. Stylistically, it's witty. I can't get down with it. It's got, yeah. It's like fast-paced dialogue. It's like, to me, I've heard this take before, which sounds like it should be an insane take, but I think it's actually like pretty accurate. It's like a less pretentious The West Wing, like dialogue-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's right. Really similar. It's like lots of walking and talking, lots of like fast-paced, a ton of like pop culture references and stuff like that. Like, honestly, yeah. Okay, and I'm not... Please don't take this as me accusing you of being a sexist, but I think that society, the reason that show wasn't taken more seriously is because it like passes the Bechdel test with flying colors.
Right.
And it's like absolutely about women, and it's really not about men at all. It's 100% about women. It's about the relationships between mothers and daughters and about you know, families. And I think because of that, it wasn't taken seriously, but it's really good. I mean, the last few years are trash, but that's true about like pretty much any TV show. Yeah. They never stick the landing on shows that are on for a long time. And I strongly disagree. You're like not even defending the tweet. I'm just like telling you how wrong you are, but
no, that's totally fine. I mean, I think like with Gilmore Girls and then what's the show, the British white lady show from last year,
Fleabag. I did not get into
Fleabag. Yes,
because they break the fourth wall. Yeah. They break the fourth wall in that show. And I hate when people talk to camera. Hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really annoying.
Yeah.
It never works for me. But for some reason, it just gave me the same feeling, the same vibe. And I was like, I don't want...
Things aimed at white women that you didn't enjoy.
But you know what? But there's a lot... I have a rich history of enjoying things that are definitely supposed to be for white women.
Why is the first thing I thought of Taylor Swift? She like that. Is emblematic of things that are aimed at white women in my mind.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to think of my list. So Phoebe Bridges, obvious one. Yeah,
okay, that's fair.
I swear this list is more than one thing.
Right.
I just watched a show today called Made for Love.
Oh, my friend edited that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's a really good show.
Good to know. Okay, let's...
So that's two.
That's two. Well, case closed. Tell her those white chicks. Okay. the people and also the movie, by the Wayans brothers.
It's happened before. Yeah.
Okay. Last tweet.
Who can't relate to this? I ran into a guy from high school last night and he was immediately like, "This is my girlfriend." I was like, "We're all good, but believe it or not, I haven't been pining for you in your preemptive male pattern baldness for 14 years."
Yeah. I mean, this happens to me a lot. Like, almost any time it feels like I interact with a straight man who is in a relationship, he's like super defensive, like, "This is my girlfriend that I have because I have a girlfriend." And I'm like, why do you assume that I'm interested? Like, that's like deeply offensive to me, like that you just assume that I would care if you were single. It is of no consequence to me whether you have a girlfriend or not, person I went to high school with that I just ran into on the street. Like, I literally was just being polite because we recognized each other. And if I didn't say anything to you, it would be really rude.
Yeah.
So good for you. Lots of people have girlfriends. I have no horse in that, again, horse in that race. Like, yeah. And like, he immediately was like, to his girlfriend, he's like, this is my girlfriend. And then he was like, this is Claire. We went to high school together. Like, immediately. Not like, this is Claire. Yeah. She's an old friend or anything like that. And it was just like, I know her because we went to high school together. That's the only way I know
her. That's the only reason I know her.
And I'm like,
what did he do? You know,
it's just like, is your girlfriend, are you safe? Will you blink twice if you're in danger? Like,
I'm just like, did he already cheat or something?
No, but this happens to me all the time. This, Tolliver, I'm telling you, like, it's so common for me that when I meet a straight man, if he's in a relationship, he immediately brings it up so quickly, like as if I can't, like, first of all, forget having interest in talking to someone or getting to know someone without being romantically interested in them, because that is also possible. We're just talking about, like, I can't even be polite to a guy without him assuming that I'm trying to, like fucking get in and ruin his relationship with his spouse. Like, we're good.
Well, you know what was really, another layer of interesting on this tweet for me is I've always heard, like, that from men, right? They go like, oh, or straight men, where they're like, you know, as soon as I start talking to a girl, I'm like, I wasn't even trying to hit on you, chick, and then it immediately start insulting the woman.
Right.
But I've actually never heard this from a woman who sleeps with men. I've never heard it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought
it was always like guys won't tell you they have a girlfriend, and then, you know, suddenly you're.
No, it happens to me all the time, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, I really don't care. I can't belabor enough how much I don't care one way or another.
Yeah.
Because
I don't care about your life.
It also doesn't affect my plan. My plan was to be polite to you, say hi, and move on my way and never talk to you again unless we run into each other again. So, like, you being single or not single has absolutely nothing to do with that. I would say as a blanket statement to all men, I'm not interested. And then I'll let you know otherwise. I will be very clear if that's not true. But just baseline, I'm not interested. Yeah. We will never sleep together. And that's just, I would say, just like baseline entry level. Just assume that.
Yeah.
And if I am interested, I will make it abundantly clear.
Yeah. That's a weird way to go about life. Assuming that someone, I just assume nobody wants to sleep.
Right.
I like being surprised.
And that's why. Yeah. We are in therapy. Okay, so that was.
I had two therapy sessions yesterday.
Wow.
So
overachiever over here.
Enjoy that, listeners.
That was really fun. I it's a little stressful. I can understand why our guests seem a little bit unnerved when it happens, but it's also nice because it's like it's a pop quiz, but it's a pop quiz about shit that you already said. So you do know all the answers. Whether or not you want to reveal them is a different story entirely, but you do know the answers. You could not be more prepared for a pop quiz than a pop quiz about shit that you've said yourself on Twitter. Okay, so that's all we got. And let's put out.
You did miss a chance to talk about Romeo and Juliet, but we can leave it. We don't have to talk.
I mean,
about
that's a standout tweet, but I also had no further questions. I feel like it really does just kind of accomplish what it set out to accomplish.
Fair enough.
So next week we'll be back, and hopefully so will the Lakers' energy and spirit and love of basketball, and may the Knicks win evermore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The soon to be defending champion Knicks.
Right. 2021 NBA champion New York Knickerbockers. May they win forever. May they never lose again.
Wow. Incredible.
Okay. That's all I got. See you next week.
Bye.